Hey, it's Dan here. If you want to hear this episode of the Backchat podcast without ads and get extra content that no one else gets, head to backchatstudios.com.au where you can sign up as a patron and access all of our bloody good merch.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
G'day, guys. This week on Backchat, we go through one of the great West Coast Eagle careers of all time, Drew Banfield, number one draft pick, premiership player, two of them, and a best and fairest. Tell some backline stories, don't we, Drewy?
Enjoy a backline story or two, mate. So,
well, I didn't realise how many overlapping areas there were, Dan.
The Trojan.
Used to wear the number 31, ended up 1-1 in the goal screener grand final. Tell you what, it's about all there are the similarities between Drew and I because he's one of the great men of all time. And you'll enjoy this one. It's a great chat. Drewy, thanks for joining us, mate.
Good on you, Scotty. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Backchat, powered by Paywise for season 2024. The man sitting with us today, one of the all-time legends in West Coast history, I believe, and you're about to find out why, Drew Banfield joins us. Hello, mate. How are you?
Drew.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Yeah. Thanks, Scully. Thanks, Dan.
Good to see you, mate. Fresh out of the Port to Pub, swimming with sharks. You survived that okay, mate?
Mate, that was a good stitch-up by you boys. You threw me in the water. No one gave me the heads up. There was a nice little potential hammerhead down there, but I don't know if we would have done anything different, would we?
Just a little context for this one. I know I ask the same question every time.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So we did the Port to Pub on the weekend. I've come out of the water, boat up next to us, said, "Did you see the 3 men hammerhead swimming around below us, circling?" I said, "No, get me out of the water." Meanwhile, Drew's in the water swimming. It was one of those ones where everyone looked around with, you know, that you could see the whites of the eyes. People were sort of like, "Shit, what do we do?" No one really told Drew. And then when Drew got out of the water, we didn't speak about it again.
It wasn't until we were sitting there at the I think we were on the boat.
Yeah,
in Thompson Bay.
Having some shelters.
Beers, and all of a sudden the shark got brought up. I had no idea what they were talking about.
Well, you're here, are you?
Yeah, that's right.
Right, yes. So.
There's no chance you would have been swimming, though, if they told you there was a shark in there, right?
I reckon
or would
he
you
might
just
have.
Go for
no,
it?
No, I reckon he might have.
I think we would have been right.
Swim with fists. Yeah. Now, Banners, we ask the same question to every guest that comes in here. We know you're a number one draft pick. We know you're a two-time premiership player, best and fairest winner. Your list goes on at the West Coast Eagles. We know you can play footy. Congratulations.
Well done.
I do want to ask your greatest sporting achievement, not on the football field, right? So we know you can do all those footy things. You're a Trojan warhorse. Dan here, for instance.
Yep. 5 for 16 in a grand final under 12s cricket.
Bowling some tweakers, some off spinners.
Thank you. Thank
I was under 9 hurdles state champion, jumping over sort of a couple of 30-centimetre rulers, won the state champs doing that. Beach flags champ.
So it wasn't when you beat Eamon Sumlin?
No. Well, we can talk about that if you'd like. 50-metre race, I had a 10-second head start. Now, greatest sporting achievement not in the football field. Can you take us somewhere? You can go back to school. You can be in the pool. You can take us wherever you like.
Mate, you've thrown me on the spot. I don't know if I played many other sports other than football. I did swim. I do vaguely remember going to the York pool and taking on the country all-stars in a 50-meter swimming event.
Really?
And, I got the chocolates by a touch. And
the York pool. Hey, what's the next body of water from the York pool?
Well, it's not too far from the Quaritin pool, mate. But
that's very good. So you're a swimmer.
I used to be. Yeah,
very good. I like
pretty
that.
Good. And you swam the Port to Pub. That's no. You know, you did it too. It's a pretty good feature.
I just swam a Rotto with 5 other people.
Yes, that's fine.
Now that's Drew Banfield's greatest sporting achievement. Thanks to Tab Touch this season, Drew. Let's get into it. Quaritin boy. What's life like growing up for Drew Banfield? Sporting family, you play footy, what's it like?
Yeah, look, very sporting family. Older brother, younger sister, all enjoyed sport. I guess that sort of stemmed from the parents. The old man, they had the farm out in Quiriding. He played a bit of footy for East Perth and then basically played Eastern Districts football a lot with the Langdon brothers. So that was Don Langdon and Winton. And so that's Carl Langdon's dad.
Right.
All out at Eastern Districts, Shackleton. He had a wonderful career out there. They had a lot of fun, it sounds like. And and then the swimming, mate, you wonder where the swimming came from. It was actually from my mum. Although she grew up in Norseman, she taught herself how to swim and was a gun swimmer at St Hilda's, right. And held the butterfly record for a number of years.
Is that right?
Wow. Yes. Hardest stroke, the butterfly.
Very difficult. But if you master it, you absolutely dominate it.
Yeah, right. So country lads, they seem to play senior footy early. Was that the case for you? Were you playing?
No, pretty much no, not at all, because I got sent to boarding school year eight back then. So I was in boarding school. I came back and played the occasional game, but it was really just Colts level back at Quiriding when we had enough team members, and also the country town we were playing had enough team members. We played an under sort of 18 sort of comp, but I would have been, 14.
Yeah, right.
Played a bit of footy in that regard.
Now, pay-wise, powering the podcast, a little bit of Fleet Network in there as well. Do you remember your first car? Do you remember what you drove around? Colour, mate?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it?
It was a green Isuzu Ute.
Oh. Isuzu.
It was called the Hard Rocking Steelmobile.
That's unreal. So what, sort of like a big sort of almost like a sawn off, you chuck all your tools in the back, did your banners? Well, what would you have a ute
back
for?
Back then, mate, you could chuck your mates in the back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was just off the farm. It was just a little manual ute that I got to use for the first year or two.
Yeah.
And then slowly upgraded from there.
Yeah, what did you end up getting when you started getting paid for footy?
Yeah, I ended up with a
Porsche.
No, mate. I went down the four-wheel drive line. I got a Toyota what are they called? Sort of the surfs, it's like a Prado, but way smaller and nowhere near as good.
Yes.
But
looks good.
Yeah, but it looked good. Yeah.
Did you surf much? I know you surfed a fair bit as a player on the West Coast list, but I can't imagine the surf's too good in Quiriding.
Mate, Scott, I took up surfing so late in life. It was actually when
can you just say where Quiriding is for Quiriding's, national audience?
Yeah. So Quiriding's about an hour, or maybe 2 hour drive east, straight east of Perth.
Towards the middle of Australia.
Yeah. So you go through York, head out to Quiriding. But our farm was another 30 Ks on the east side of Quiriding.
Right.
So we weren't anywhere near the town.
Or the coast.
And
no surf in Quiriding.
So we weren't far from Shackleton. So that was our closest town. But we were in between Quiriding and Kellerberrin.
Because I remember coming to the footy club and you and Fletchy and Stinger and you're all surfing.
Well, I only surfed because I went to Cocos Islands with Fletch and basically there was nothing to do there other than surf. So I learned to surf. It was about my mid-20s or something like that. So
was that one of the – like, so Fletch was a very good – Chad Fletcher was a very good surfer.
Yep.
And you don't know how to surf your country. Did he just push you onto a wave and say, go for it?
I said, let's go out here. And
it was barreling 10 foot. Like,
the Milton, who you got to know quite well over the trip, Ash McIntosh. He came with us. I think he did his hammy surfing. So that didn't last long for him.
While we're on that, I know we're jumping all over the place here, but so Ash McIntosh, nicknamed Milton, and pretty much everyone just calls him Milton. And I asked on the weekend, where did that come from? Can you tell that story, where Milton came from?
Right. So he got the name before I turned up. So we're talking 92. He'd already got this nickname, and his nickname was Millie. And apparently at some stage there, Mick Malthouse assessed Ash's game of football to be very similar to a boy band called Milli Vanilli.
Oh,
which was a lip-syncing.
Yeah, they didn't sing their own songs.
Yeah. So he sort of said, you're like that band Milli Vanilli. You're out there, but no one's really performing.
That's good.
And or something along those lines. Yeah. So ever since that comment by Mick, he got called Milli.
That's one great. Of the great – that is one yeah, of the great – and Milli, everyone just calls him Milton. Or
yeah,
Milli
now or. It's just Milton.
Oh, gee, it's that's brilliant.
What was the Milli Vanilli song? It was one song.
We might have to find it, but they weren't singing it. And no. That's brilliant by Mick Malthouse. Yeah. Talking about West Coast Eagles, you're the number one draft pick. Now, this is, I think, quite absurd. West Coast Eagles win the premiership 1992. They then have the number one draft pick in 1993. They traded a couple of picks away to get the number one draft pick, which was you.
I know. Probably if you look back at it, if you were sitting in it, well, where we are now, and you go, oh, my God, they traded for number one, you just don't hear about that anymore. No. So, yeah, I was pretty, fortunate in a way. I got to stay in my home state. There was a few other clubs interested, but, I guess West Coast had 1-7 that year, so I never really knew if they were going to use the number one pick. I think it was Adelaide and North Melbourne had picks in between 1-7. So that were probably the two clubs that had shown the most interest, but you never really know on draft day. So
if they're going to pick you up.
Yeah. And anyway, so West Coast, though, decided that they'd use the number one pick and that's how it all happened.
On the internet, it says West Coast pulled off the heist of the century when they convinced Sydney to give up the first pick in the draft. So you could have been a Sydney player if they kept it.
Yeah, I think back then Sydney was really chasing some mature, experienced players that had been in the system for at least 2 or 3, 4 years, and that's what West Coast had. They had a pretty good list in that sort of 91-92 era, and there was a couple of decent players that obviously missed out on the 92 flag, and they were looking to chase opportunities elsewhere.
I think Waters was one of the
Scotty Waters and Tony Begovic.
Yes,
yeah.
Who was pick 7 in your if you were one? You said they had
Paul Simmons.
Paul Simmons.
Could you imagine if Collingwood had number one pick this year? People would just be outraged.
Yeah, correct.
The AFL would crumble.
Yeah, but they would have had to trade for it.
Yeah, that's true.
It all comes down to that. West Coast were in that position last year. They didn't go for it.
That's a good point.
But if they did, it would have been something you'd.
Yeah, big deal.
Yeah, but it would always look back at and go, who won?
Yeah.
West
Coast.
What's it like walking onto the AFL list that was the West Coast Eagles in 92, 93? Yeah, Djakovic, McKenna, Worsfold.
I know, it's pretty – yeah, so I watched the 92 grand final at the Dunsborough pub and, with a heap of mates and, next thing you know, it's probably 2 weeks later, I'm down at Floreat Beach doing my first pre-season run along the beach up to Ob City.
The sand runs going today.
The sand runs. That was big. Yeah, Brian Dawson was in charge and we'd hit the Floreat Beach and – it was all action there and, mate, there was none of that just ease the young blokes into it that we see today. You maybe do two-thirds to three-quarters of the session.
Yeah.
We were in. It was it was a rude awakening of how unfit I was.
You were a midfielder and later in your career you saw the light and made your way back in the back line. what was that midfield like? And was there players at the club that took you under your wing, their wing earlier?
Mate, there was a great bunch of midfielders that, were happy to, help me out. There's a huge list. Donny Pike was him and Dean Kemp were probably the two of the blokes that really helped me out. Chris Lewis as well. Tony Evans, Fatty Lamb. Maney was, pretty good as well. So
influential as well. Yeah. And not that I'm Drew Banfield number one draft pick, but I came to the footy club at 07 after the 06 flag. And you walk into a successful environment, right? They're winners. Like, did you get – is that what you walked into, like a winning culture?
Absolutely. I mean, the expectation was that you'd – I remember this clearly. You never lose two in a row. Like, if we went down, not a problem. We'll we know we'll win the next one. It was actually nearly just understood, no matter what, we're going to win the next one.
So right.
And so, and you sort of notice that too. Also, you know, eventually, you know, I had a big gap between the successes, and in 06, probably the biggest one we had was that you knew if it was a close game at three-quarter time, we're going to win it. Like, you know, it was just known that, you know, that no one was going to overrun us. Hmm. And that was a mentality they had in 92 as well, that going into obviously 94, which was another successful year.
So people listening may think that's normal, but you've played a lot of teams and so have I, and anyone really, that belief.
It's like, not always there.
No.
You work up to it. All of a sudden you don't really know what's upon you, but it's just an expectation that all of a sudden we're good enough here. We don't drop two in a row.
And you can see it, right? Collingwood over the last 2 years, I know they didn't win the grand final 2 years ago, but they'd be down by four goals, and you could just say they're just like, well, we're going to win this anyway.
We'll get the job done.
Yeah. And they most of the time would.
Yeah, and that's exactly what that side had.
Mm.
It was very much a belief in each other, as well as, you know, obviously Mick had them steering in the right direction as well.
Do you remember your first game or your first opportunity?
Yeah, I had an opportunity round one, 1993.
Right.
I was emergency, but you got to understand, I don't reckon I was ever going to play because the parents didn't get the flight over or anything like that. But I was also living with my brother. Neither of us really cooked that much. I was 18, he was 20. So we're renting, and food was scarce, or decent food. So I've gone to Adelaide, and you know what it's like, Sco. You land and then you arrive at the hotel, and next thing you know, this smorgasbord of food is just out there. So I've just launched into this. I've had about three or four meals in one, knowing that it'll get me through the rest of the week on the night before the game. And, you know, I'm rooming with Donnie Pike.
Right.
Back then we didn't have our own rooms. I don't know, did you have your own rooms?
Yeah, we upgraded.
Yeah. So we had to share back in the early 90s. And I was sharing with Donnie Pike. And the next morning, breakfast is on, walk down to breakfast. And again, I knew I wasn't playing. So I've just really made myself at home.
Loaded up.
Loaded up. There was bacon, there was eggs. Like you could have anything. Pancakes. Anyway, we go and do our morning training session, or just, you know, a light run just around the there was a park next door. The boys all I was doing it with them, and they're all heading back to the hotel, and I get the old Bannis, come on, we've got to do a bit extra. And I went, really? Okay, no worries. So Georgie Young and Robbie Wiley take me through the paces, and they took me through the paces. And anyway, I've turned white. I'm can't run out of sight. They're going, what have we drafted here? This kid can't run. And I've headed back to the hotel, just, you know, tail between the legs, going, what have I done? I've just put my career on bloody jeopardy, and I've gone up to my room, sat in the shower like this, and next thing I vomited all over the floor.
Disgrace.
In our only bathroom in Pikey and my room. So poor Donnie's about to face the Adelaide Crows in an hour or two, and I'm just ruining his environment. And dare to say I didn't get another look for a while, mate. It took me a good 10 to 12 games at Subiaco to get the win some trust back in the team.
I can just imagine Mick Malthouse in the old school trackie, arms crossed, moustache bristling in the wind, just going, what is this? This disgraceful kid doing. You'd put 10 kilos on overnight.
I did. Oh, mate, I left it all in the bloody bathroom at the Carlton Crest in Adelaide or whatever it was called.
That's very good. So when did you – who did you play your first game against?
I think I might have been round 14. I can't remember.
16?
16. I knew it was an even number. MCG. So I couldn't ask for anything better.
Wow.
Playing Essendon at the MCG on a Saturday afternoon, and I'm – playing in the guts on Michael Long. And, you know, he was on fire. He'd just won the Norm Smith he went on to win the Norm Smith in the 93. So he was in good form.
Worked him into a bit of form.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I don't remember. I've got a couple of touches. I do remember, my first kick nearly went through for a goal, except for Dustin Martin's gadget arms.
You remember Fletcher.
Dustin Fletcher.
Dustin Martin wouldn't bend over.
Yeah, he wouldn't have reached it, but Dustin Fletcher could.
Yes.
And his arms have just extended, and just marked this ball right on the line. And, you know, they ran out the other side, and I missed a goal on my first kick.
But, so you missed the first kick, first goal. We've been to so many people on this potty that first kick, first goal. It's remarkable.
Yeah, we had someone recently that was by Dustin Martin, Dustin Fletcher. No other defender would have got it.
No.
I tell you, no other defender.
We're going to fish that out, I reckon, out of the archives.
Yeah, we'll find that.
Now, Dan, you're a big jumper number guy here. Mm. What number were you wearing in your first game?
Oh, 31.
The number 31. Yeah. I never knew that you were a part of the 31 Brotherhood.
Yeah, that's so good.
Mitch White, one of those blokes.
Yeah, 31. Mark Dacoski. All Subi boys, mate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Peel boy, so
did you get a choice or did you just get handed?
Nah, that was, I lobbed up. There it was.
Yeah, and then you flicked it off. It only lasted 1 year.
7 games.
What was wrong with 31?
Mate, 6 came available and I got to move in with the heavy hitters down there in the low.
Who was the 6? Was that?
Jeff Miles and then Paul Pios and then me.
Wow. There you go.
It's disappointing you left the 31. It could have been a real...
Yeah, no, everyone does their time in it and you either move on or stick around. And it
probably did you a favour. He's probably the most iconic 6. You could have been under his shadow of 31 if he stayed at 31.
Another number thing. So Martin Nikoski started in 31, moved to 6.
Huh.
That's right.
Tell you what. So that's your first year. Play your first game. Get your experience. Play 7 games that year.
Can I just go a bit further with this first game?
Great.
So really tight game. Okay. We had some great battles with Essendon. And basically about from memory, it felt like the last kick of the day. Paul Salmon has marked the ball, kicked the goal, and we go down by a couple of points. Right. Just, you know, the boys are shattered. We can't believe it. Anyway, the coaches get a little bit excited and unbeknown to us, Kevin Sheedy has stormed out of the coach's box and started waving his jacket above his head.
It was the start
of the Essendon Eagles rivalry of the jacket wave.
Is that right? That was your first game?
My first game.
So were you walking off the field after a loss, just going, what on earth? You've never seen a crowd ever.
No, I think it was 60,000 or something like that.
Just waving their jackets around. Yeah. Well, Kevin.
Well,
was
no,
there.
It only started from there because it hit the news. Like, you know, all during the week, all you saw was Kevin Sheedy waving his jacket.
What was that over? People giving him grief in front of him or something? What was he so far about?
I think it
about?
Was just the fact that he just beat his rival Mick Malthouse in a very heated, big game at the MCG.
You played played under Mick Malthouse, Judgy, I'm assuming.
Yep, a couple of years with Judgy.
And then Woosher, your former teammate.
Yep.
You see some decent clips and sprays from out of those three? Did you ever receive any?
I was pretty lucky with Mick.
Got on his good side.
I didn't get too many. A couple of boys were on the end of a couple of lashings, but Judgy, you know, I think he enjoyed a spray, like, you know, whether it was at an individual person or at the whole team. That was just the way he sort of got up and about. And yes. And Woosher was very, he didn't offer too many sprays. He, you could tell when he was really angry, though.
He was more disappointed, wasn't he?
I remember one time at Geelong and he made Steve Woodhouse absolutely, you know, put his pants. Steve's just leaning against this door, you know, sort of listening to Woosher, and we're all looking at him going, yeah, we're paying back. Like, you know, Geelong, we often don't play that well in Geelong.
Never have.
No.
Minister of the club.
Unless you're Matt Prittis's debut.
Yes.
And anyway, he's belted this door right next to Steve's head, who's packed his dacks, and I reckon none of us really were listening. Like, you know, you go back and go, what did Woosha say? I mean, no one really remembered other than seeing Steve Woodhouse's face absolutely scared, bloody shitless. And anyway.
I've been on the receiving end from some Woosha sprays down at Cadinia Park.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the same handprints down there from bashing walls.
So, no, we often copped it down there.
Was that weird? Was that weird playing under a teammate, like a premiership teammate? Was that weird for you or was that relationship?
Nah, it was great. It was easy. Yeah. I guess as a captain of the side, you knew that there was certain, the expectations. He always brought his best to the team. And I guess that was, I guess the way I felt you needed to play under him, that, he'll bring his best, you bring your best, and we'll make it all work, sort of thing. And he never left a stone unturned as a player or a coach. So, it was pretty easy to be coached by him.
Going back to sort of 93 and into 94, do you remember the pressure of being number one pick? Was that a big deal?
Not.
Did you get treated differently by the club or anything?
Yeah, it probably was, but I didn't really there was nowhere near the scrutiny of what you see today. Like, there was no stats out there. There was no combine to go to see how high or slow you could run. It was all done on how you played your footy. Like, I played half a year at Subiaco in 92, played 10 league games. And in fairness to that, I had a pretty good state 17s carnival the year before, which probably put me on the radar. So expectations, I guess there were some, but I just, knew it was going to be a challenge breaking into the 92 team. Or the premiership team from 92. So I just knew I had to bide my time and get to learn as much as I can off the guys that had been in the system for three, four years.
So you're telling me you weren't on the back page of the paper for 3 months straight? Is that right?
We had a few other characters that took the limelight back then. Chrissy Mainwaring was always a good one that, found himself in both good and bad
hot or cold water, either.
Hot or cold water. So, So,
can you, like, Harley Reid, number one draft pick, West Coast? I know you're saying it's different, but can you empathise at all with, what do you say going on there?
All I can say to with that is, obviously, there's so much external noise on Harley, and he seems from a distance handling it really, really well. But hopefully, he's got a great close knit of mates or people that he values their opinion and listens to them, and then don't worry about the rest.
Mm.
Same with the club will have, he'll build a relationship with the coaches, whether they're assistant coaches or development coaches, and he'll work on his game and listen to them, and hopefully we see the best of him.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Well said. Yeah. 94, excuse me, 94, seven games in that 93, and then 94 is a premiership year. You play every game that year and not find yourself in a premiership. You're playing a premiership, named on the bench. What's that season like? Young kid, second youngest in the team that year. Do you know who the youngest was?
Bondi, Shane Bond.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what's it like playing in a premiership that young with these superstars? You're young up and comer then.
Yeah. Well, that was 94 was the year, I guess. I got a second preseason under my belt. You're sort of finding you're matching it a little bit better with everyone else. I had to build on my tank, playing midfield then. Mate, there was not a lot of interchange rotations back in those days. Sometimes I found myself playing for all the minutes. So it was a different style of footy.
Yes.
And it was a lot of one-on-one sort of scenarios, whereas, we defended as a one-on-one team and beat your opponent, whereas these days you've got your zones and intercept defenders that have a bit more license. Like Guy McKenna did that a lot really well for us throughout that 94 season. But, rest of them would probably, know that they're playing on an opponent. Your Djokovic-Carey sort of scenarios, they're the sort of things that you know, became part and parcel as I went, got into my career. And it was, yeah, to make it and hold my position that year was, you know, it was tough, but, you know, it was rewarding in the end. And, you know, so glad to be part of it.
What do you remember in that off season? Obviously, you win 92. Oh, and West Coast win 92, then get bounced in the finals 93. Was there a bit of like a pissed off attitude, like maybe a opportunity missed to come back in 94 and prove something?
Yeah, totally. I reckon there would have been in that group. I was emergency for a couple of the finals, so I went to the G. I was never really going to play, and you know, we played, we lost. I can't remember if we went straight sets or we won one, lost. I honestly can't remember how we went in 93, but it was something that I was sort of remember thinking that the team, you know, me being very young and early in my career, I was sort of like, oh, this is pretty cool, you know. But I think them as seasoned campaigners, they, you know, they'd already played in 91, they'd been lost and played in 92. They knew what they wanted, and it was an opportunity missed. And I think that's where 94 sort of gathered its momentum early.
That back line. Djakovic, Brennan, Worsfold, Monkey, Brennan.
Ash.
Yep.
Drufa Hart.
And I know you weren't in the back line then, but what was it like? I like to talk about back lines here on Backchat, yeah. Mate. We've heard story from others that, you know, Woosher especially, that intimidation factor, that back line was an aggressive back line. Was that what it was like to play with?
I reckon they had just had a beautiful blend of blokes that could, you know, nullify, stop. No, and we're talking champions here. Like, you know, the fullbacks are playing on guys like Dunstall and Lockett and
Ablett.
You know, so you're talking greats of the game, and that set up a forward line, and you can build a forward line around. So, and then, you know, that half back line was, you know, pretty impressive, and they rarely, I would say, ever lost in a battle.
The blokes were scared to play. Yeah, I've heard stories blokes were scared to play against Woosher.
I reckon the biggest example of that would have been our first derby.
Right.
He was so fired up and ready to just run through brick walls, and he got us all running through brick walls too.
He smashed the Dockers that day.
Yeah. So, I mean, tough task for them. You know, we're talking a real season campaigning team. Like, we're on the march, and, you know, these guys are playing their, I don't even know what derby was, let's say fourth game or something of the season. And,
It was like the Port to Pub, Freo v West Coast. You've been, you haven't been able to knock them off in a long time till a couple of young bloods came into the team.
Well, we pretty sure I won't hear the end of this for a long time.
Don't worry, I'll be letting everyone know. You kicked a goal in the granny, 94, premiership. Was it a good one?
I did. I would say I was a bit fortunate, but I'll take it. The fullback kicked it to me.
Bullshit. Sat on the mark.
Hey, no, I was sitting on the 50, just outside 50, I think so, and then just dropped it back over his head.
Really? Yeah. So from a kick out?
Yeah, it was from a kick out.
Very good. What
was it? I think that put us 70-odd points up, so we weren't
great.
Well, we're celebrating.
It was the sealer.
I think we won that game by 80. So, you know, it was the last quarter, although it was on, you could see there was a few smiles.
What's the celebrations like after winning a flag at AFL level as a 19, 20-year-old?
Oh, mate, hard to put into words, really. You know, you're 20, you're at the MCG, you're playing with your home state team. There wasn't two teams around at that stage, you know. So we're the only state, only team in our state. And I'd been following him since inception in '87, and there you are at the pinnacle. It was pretty awesome.
We've heard people tell us about you guys being in your full like tracksuit kit after the game, just celebrating in clubs and stuff. Didn't want to get changed.
Not just after the grand final either. This is over a sustained period of time, we've been told.
Yeah, do you know what? I reckon I missed the height of that sort of that was like
behavior.
Yeah, the club rumors and stuff like that. There's so many great rumors about club rumors and what the the tabs they used to get, and they just wander in their kits straight off the plane. And yeah.
So you're telling me you've never done that before?
No, never did it. Wow. Things have changed. This is on tape. Mid-90s.
This is on tape.
Early 90s. Things have changed.
We better not see any proof of you walking around in nightclubs in your full tracksuit.
You wouldn't have been me, mate.
Right, so 94 gets done, and you know, it's fair enough to say that the club, you know, still challenging. I mean, it goes through a decent rebuild stage. Mick leaves during a period. Judgy comes in, as we spoke about. What's that like? Because you're starting to come in. You win a Best and Fairest in 99. Sorry, 96. My bad. Second in 99. Yes. Equal second?
Nah, I think I might have been third.
You're equal second. You have one vote behind.
Off Bluey.
And yeah, Bluey won it. And you, Brawny, and someone else were one vote behind.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
So you're a success, you know, you're one of the best players in the team there, but it's a developing period, right? It's the middle part of your career. What sort of lessons do you learn from that, coming from a successful period through a real building phase where you effectively need to lead?
Yeah, totally. You know, we were coming, like, we're still, 99 was a good year for us.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
We actually went through, I think, 12-1 or something through at the halfway mark of the season, but right. Then we just fell in a big hole and limped into the finals. You know, and you talk about momentum, we just had it at the wrong time of the year. So that was a disappointing year, but we were still up and about. And then, you know, obviously some major change. Mick decides that, you know, he's heading east, and we get a new coach, and things just didn't work out. We didn't gel as a team, and it was pretty tough there for a couple of years. And we just sort of just had to keep battling away and trying to be competitive to a point where, you know, we knew there were some young kids coming through. We'd drafted pretty well. We'd picked up Embley, Dean Cox.
Cuzzy was,
oh, mate, he had the team on his shoulders in 2000, 2001. He was six years into his career, and he was carrying us.
Was he as close, do you think, what we're seeing with Harley Reid? And I played with Nick Nanui, which I think was similar sort of areas. But Ben Cousins, at that period, he was the Prince of Perth.
I mean, he started in – his first year was 96. We had a good year in 96. We got a little bit robbed through the system of the AFL, where we earned a home final, but there needed to be a final at the MCG, so we had to travel, and we lost it. So you know what a home final does for you, Scully.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so we'd they had a rule there that there had to be a final at the
AFL VFL coffers.
Yeah, so that happened in 96. So we, but that was his first year. He won the Rising Star that year, and that was just the start of his awesome career for the club. And 2000, 2001, he really set the standard there, and you know, then we, as I said, recruited really well. We got Daniel Kerr on board, Juddy later in 01, and Chaddy Fletch was already on the list. Brawny had been a couple of years, so we'd sort of started to build the nucleus of a pretty good team.
So you drafted the club's a midfield number one draft pick. So I'm hearing Cousins, Judd, Kerr, Brawn. Is this about the time you start transitioning to the back line?
Mate, I worked out pretty quickly. Especially when CJ turned up the training, that, you know, I I was perhaps lacking a yard of pace to play in the midfield.
In fairness, anyone would have. Not like a couple of plebs rocking up to the footy club. Oh, I might go to the back line.
Yeah. So I transitioned slowly. We then recruited Tyson Stengline and
slow midfielder.
Yeah. Big ass. Yes. Big, no torso, but you know, long legs. And he complimented Kaz, Juddy, and Curry in there in the middle brilliantly. So, yeah, he was – I sort of transitioned down to my half-back, back pocket sort of and yeah, we built a great team within a team there. As you know, back lines are the backbone of any side. And, yes. Yeah, so with a couple of youngsters in Bowie Waters and Adam Selwood, we formed a pretty good back line.
Forwards sell memberships, right? People come to watch them play footy. Mid sign sponsorships, they get all the money. Backs win premierships.
Yeah, I like that.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
So you move into the back line. You've been playing with backs. John Worsfold's now the coach. I think if we look at the West Coast team right now, maybe in getting towards similar phase, where they're going to go to the draft two or three times in a row and build a real core nucleus of the Judd, Cousin, Kerr types, Embley. So at that time, sort of 2003, 2004, do you know that group is, do you feel that success that you'd seen at the start of your career?
Yeah, totally. Probably one of the biggest moments where you look back and you go, we had a camp at Curran Cove over in on the East Coast, and we put a vision together. And this is sort of maybe 2002, 2003, I can't remember exactly. But anyway, there was a lot of buy-in by the group about what we wanted to achieve and what we were going to live by and our principles for that going forward. And, you know, it seemed to really suit our group and we bonded really well. And there wasn't a lot of turnover of players from probably 02, 03 to 06, 07. Like, we kept the nucleus of those players and we just kept getting better and better each year. And but I reckon a lot of it sort of stemmed from that camp we had that allowed us to sort of get a buy-in on what we wanted to achieve, and the way the coaches allowed us to lead the team.
Now we've got the famous Ochre jumper behind
my
you.
My favourite.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Drew Banfield signature on it, to be honest. Rowan Jones, David Wirrpunda, I can see back there. You would have played in that jumper.
We did, mate. We did. I don't think we won a game
yet. We think we maybe should bring it back. Like, it's that bad that maybe it's good. That's what we're thinking here at Backchat.
What do you remember when they first showed you guys? Like, I assume there was some sort of meeting where they revealed...
They just revealed it and said, this will be your, I can't remember.
The alternate strip.
Yeah, your away strip or your
or was it home strip.
Of, was it your home strip? Oh, God. anyway, we worked out pretty quickly that we only win premierships in the royal blue and gold.
Yes, right.
That's the only outfit we win premierships in. So we quickly went back to that.
I think you were wearing it in the demolition derby. Did you play that game?
Yeah, played that game. Yeah, we were. We were wearing it.
Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
Were you in amongst it or were you just on the outskirts?
I think I was lying on the bottom of a pack a couple of times, mate. Yeah. Shawnee Mack looking over the top of me.
Don't get up.
Because I was watching some highlights of the fights this morning. And
Do you wake up and just watch that?
Yeah. The one thing I saw about you every time I was looking to see if you're throwing punches or whatever, as soon as the fight would break out, you'd be the first one grabbing the ball and running, trying to get.
Absolutely. Easy stat.
Yeah, absolutely. Straight away. There was always fights going on. Batters got the ball. Three or four times he's grabbing the ball.
Smart.
Yeah. Very smart.
I mean, if the umpire let me go, I was off.
That was wild. This is the Guardian Pav going on. This is the Phil Reed.
The Kikidi and Reedy. Yeah, they were at it.
What were we thinking? Genuine, like it was fighting. It wasn't a melee.
I feel it was the tone that they wanted to set. And, you know, a lot of those boys we're talking about, you know, don't take a back step. So, you know, if it's on, it was going to be on. And that's what the tape sort of shows too. Like, you know, no one was taking a too much of a back step. Maybe me grabbing the ball and trying to run off and kick a goal. But, yeah, it's, you know, not, you know, surprising, but not, you know, you can understand it. Yeah, it's pretty fierce rivalry, the derbies. So, but yeah, again, you probably would never see that again these days.
What was the chat like after in the change rooms? I assume everyone's like, "What the fuck just happened?"
pretty much. You sort of yeah. You're pretty fired up though. You really want it. Like, we lost that one.
Yeah, 1 point.
Yeah. So you know,
really
pretty disappointing.
Darren Glass fumbled one in the goal square that would have.
He was playing as a forward that day.
Yeah, he fumbled one in the goal square, missed an opportunity to kick a goal. They would have won that.
Hence,
game.
He's a full back now.
Last time, yeah.
good full back at that.
Yeah, so, one of the great full backs of all time. Couldn't take a mark in the goal square. No. All failed forwards.
Get back, Glassy.
2005, big season for the club. You've got this group, this core group. You're in the back line now, and it's properly on now. That midfield is humming.
Yeah,
you've got a strong back line behind it. Your role, you turn into a lockdown defender in that grand final player, Nick Davis.
Yeah,
a bit of a rivalry with Sydney.
Yeah, massive rivalry probably across the 4 years or sort of. You know, we matched up. Well, they matched up on us really well, us on them. So, you know, you knew it was always going to be a ding-dong battle. And, you know, as results show, that it always was. So, but, yeah, look, Nick Davis and I often found ourselves, well, me playing on him. And as I said, you know, a lot of our game plan or game style back then was one-on-one type footy. So, you know, very different, again, to that nowaday footy. Do remember late in the GF, I was on the bench and so was Nick Davis, and he got up to go on and they'd cleared the forward line out, Sydney. So Glassy and Barry Hall were up on the half forward line, and you know, Bowie was out, and Jonesy was out as well, all across the half back line, and Wirra was out, Chicky was out, and there was me and Nick Davis in the goal square. Not a pleasant place to be, mate. As you know, yes. With your efforts with Jordan Ngoi in the 18, you know, it's a pretty low.
It's not our stuff.
No, you're sort of like, come on, boys, don't be afraid to come back. You know, and it's probably one of the reasons why Embers won the Norm Smith. You know, he came back, took a couple of big telling marks in that last quarter.
So that's due to you, by the sounds of it, squealing your guts out in the goal square.
Get back. Embers! Help out! So, yeah, good times. Like, you know, you love those challenges. It was you know, a great outcome in the end. We got across the line that time.
When you start your career, so 91, lost grand final, 92, win a grand final, 93, prelim, 94, win a grand final. As a young kid, do you think, well, you're just playing grand finals, that's what you do, and then there's such a big gap, 10-year gap.
Well, we played finals every year except for two. So it was probably, looking back at it, that we missed a couple of big opportunities in those finals campaigns. And I reckon 96 was one of them. 99 might have been one as well. That we had a bloody good team, but we just didn't quite gel at the right time. And ultimately weren't good enough. But, then to miss finals for a couple of years, you're sort of like, hang on, this is no fun. And we, you know, obviously a lot of hard work went into getting that team up and about. And, so we snuck into finals, I think, our first year in 01 under Woosha. And, you know, kept getting better and better from there.
Going into 06, did you know that was going to be your last season?
No, I actually had a reasonable year in 05. As in, the body held up well. I got through it.
Played every game.
Played every game. And I thought, I'll keep going until the body stops. What didn't help, we were building a house at the time, and the Thursday night before the first game, there was a or that afternoon, that evening, I just left the footy club, went back to check the house to see how it was progressing. There was a bobcat there cleaning up some rubbish and they needed this sign moved. So I thought, you know, maybe I'm a bit of a handyman, I'll move the sign. Anyway, I didn't see that someone had put a like an axe wedge through it, and there was a sharp little bit of metal sitting there, and I sliced my thumb right open through the nerves and the tendon on the Thursday night before the first game.
Oh, is this 06?
06. So I drove back, got my wife to drive me back to the club where Doc Moore was, and my mate walked in there and went, mate, I think I've done something here. And he goes, okay, straight into surgery for you.
Wow. So did you miss the first part of this season?
Yeah, so I so
round 9, I think you got
9 maybe.
Yeah, got was that, yeah, back yeah. into the team. Yeah,
yeah, got back in the team. So there you go.
We I know you conveniently just glossed over 2005, lost grand final. We've put that to the back of your memory.
Yeah, we don't talk about those things, correct. Do we? Yeah.
There was a big moment in that one. You kicked it behind, I think.
Hit the post.
So could you have? I mean, if you kick that goal, West Coast win.
I reckon we're a better chance, 100%, 100%. We would have gone, not that I know anything about it, mate, we would have been 16 points up at the 10-minute mark of the last quarter.
So it was in the last. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to punch you, didn't
you? No, and instead it made us 11. So, we had our opportunities again in there, and that was one of them.
That's how footy goes.
Yep, and you miss that. We had other chances, We just weren't in front at the right time. And you look at those, you know, back in, and you can do it with every game and see opportunities that went missing or you didn't take the most of. And anyway, hit the inside of the post too.
Not that you're holding on to that. Do you remember where you were with the Leo Barry mark? Like, it's one of the great moments of AFL history, and it's not you're on the wrong side of it, but were you near it?
Yeah, no, I wasn't near it. I was
So you might have been under the pat somewhere.
I was playing on Nick Davis again that year, and we were sitting probably center wing, sort of watching it all unfold, you know, hoping the ball didn't come my way and hoping that, you know, that we got that one last chance. And, you know, as you said, Ash Sampey got held. Leo Barry takes the mark. Yeah. You know.
Chris Judd held. Mark Seavey, all the boys.
Yeah.
Should have been a free kick.
I run into Leo Barry every now and then, and particularly around grand final time. And he said, I've done one thing in my career, and it's highlighted every year. Leo Barry, you star.
when he marks it, do you know that's it?
Yeah. Well, there was messages going around that, you know, 31 minute, 30 seconds, and, you know, that sometimes goes forever, but you knew that he was going to hold it, and you know, us getting back the ball was going to be a challenge in time.
Mm.
So we skipped 06 and speak about, you know, encumbered start to the season. You missed those games and bit in and out, played a bit of Subi that year as well.
Yep.
Played in the qualifying. You dropped after that though.
Yeah. So again, I reckon, little bit of a matchup scenario. This is how it was sort of explained to me. We're playing Western Bulldogs, a very fast running team. So all of a sudden, that's not on my specialty list anymore. Fast and hard running.
Your scouting report.
Yeah. So anyway, so I miss out then. And
do you think you were going to get back in the team?
Look, I knew I was a chance. Just had to be. A little bit on the matchups and what teams we were playing. We went to Adelaide. I got back into the side for that game. And that was a big win by the boys. One of our best away to beat Adelaide in Adelaide, down at three quarter time, and we got it done. So it was always hopeful, never certain that you'd hold your spot, but rest is history.
The Sydney West Coast rivalry again is reignited. Well, not, it just continues through this period, 06. During that game, it was a back and forth game, just like 05. Is there moments that stand out to you that you can remember or you think about, good or bad?
Probably a classic. You know, there's like Daniel Chicks smother, recover, and shepherd is a great moment in that game.
Yep.
You know, sets up Adam Hunter for a goal. And what was really interesting is that that had happened in a training session in pre-season, something very similar in that setup. And Hunts had kicked the goal and he celebrated the same way as the grand final. And like, you know, you sort of, like when we'd seen that in the highlights leading up into the game,
really?
Of how what we'd done from January to September to get to here. And
they played a little hype video and that was
in it. Yeah, and that was in it. And, wow. And I still remember, like, you know, and all of a sudden you see, you know, Chicky doing all the hard work and, you know, gives the ball off and yeah, that was a huge moment. That's cool.
Huh. Did you have any things happen that?
Oh, you know, it's a moment. I'd be interested to see if you ever felt this. That, you know, I talked about being on the bench and getting put one on one out in the forward line on Nick Davis, and you're sitting there and you go, "This is what you trained your entire life for." You know, this is a moment. This is what you enjoy. Like, this is such a great place to be. You're absolutely crapping yourself, but you're like, I've done everything I need to do. I'm ready for this moment. You know, there was a couple of one-on-ones that I managed to win, and you sort of, you know, it goes the other way and it could be the different result. And that's what the back line's all about, is that, like, did you feel that way at all when you all of a sudden got the job? Okay, you're on to goey, back pocket. You know, you make a mistake, it's a goal for them, but you win it and it changes the game.
Like you said, that's what the back line's about. So you're in these contests your whole career, right? And but grand final day for me, I had contests that day that I never won my whole career that I managed to win. It was like proper life and death because like you said, confident about your That for me, 18 was like, that's where I was meant to be, and giving me a little shivers. But I remember in the last play, we weren't in front for the entire day until a minute and a half to go, and the very last play of the game, they used to play one deep, so they pulled Degoe back into the goal, into the top forward 50, and we had a loose behind the play, and Elliot Yeo, who was sort of in front of me, but then there was 70 meters, and then us,
big gap.
And I remember they got the clearance. And they had Varco, Taylor Adams maybe, and another Langdon just charging Yoey as he snapped it. And if you watch the vision with probably – it's probably about 4 seconds to go. Yoey snaps it and he gets it and then game over. But I reckon Trav Varco is about 20 centimetres from smothering the footy.
Yeah.
And no one in front of him other than and I think about it a bit that I remember thinking and watching it, just being like, oh, here we go. Here we go.
This is going to be a moment.
Grand final win or loss here. Yeah, here it comes. Yeah. And then, it, you know, it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's an interesting spot to be in the middle of the MCG, 100,000 people, and then you're just on one-on-one, and that's pretty much all that matters. You're not thinking about anything else.
No, 100%. No, they're pretty big highs in the game that you just – you look back on fondly and you go, wow, that was a pretty special moment.
Well, 94, you win by a shitload.
80 points.
Yeah. And you'd won it. Three-quarter time, you probably won it.
Yeah. Totally different games.
06.
But still, the satisfaction is there. But, you know, you 06, we'd been building up for, 5 years on trying to win this thing.
And when the siren goes, surely it's a different feeling because you don't know what's going to happen. Whereas,
And I'm 14 years into a career.
True.
Not 31 games. 31 games, mate.
Wow.
My mum will be losing her mind over this.
Hey,
this is turning. You can ask me another question.
Yeah, no, I'm going to see if you remember our bonding moment. It was a big Eagles backline bonding moment.
Oh shit! Hang on. Can you?
I'll give you a hint. It was after the 18 GF.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Monkey Brennan was there.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, absolutely. Upstairs in the whatever that place was called.
Yeah.
Mate, we all shared, I reckon it might not have been a beer. It was definitely maybe a shelter soda. I mean, a vodka soda or something. Maybe a whippersnapper and dry. A little whippersnapper and dry. Yeah. Absolutely, I remember it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mate, that was really cool.
One of the greats.
So
for the rest of us, the rest of you, please.
Please.
obviously went across and watched the 18 grand final, and after the game caught up with a few of the ex-teammates.
Old boys.
You know, Monkey Brennan, Michael Brennan was one of them, Tyson Stengline another. And we managed to track down where these lads were having a few beers later in the night. So we thought, let's wander along, because I think Jacob Breno might have been on the list as well, or he was part of it all. So we tracked them down, and we've ended up at this nightclub three stories up, and we've run straight into Scully.
Great.
And there's me, Monkey Brennan, and Scully. And obviously we start telling our own tales about playing on – the gun forward, winning the premiership for the team. Like, you know, Michael Brennan did it in 92, 94 on Ablett, and, I did it on Nick Davis, and Scully did it on DeGoey, and, geez, we were pumping ourselves up.
Great.
It was a moment for Dow defenders.
Yeah. No, that's good. And it was about 2 in the morning. And
I do remember it. Absolutely, I do. Well, I reckon we did a big like linking of the arms and all that trick.
Great,
like the symbol of like we all gave a fist up in the air, link fist together. That's very good.
Yeah. So no, that was anyway. Great defending defenders Eagles bonding moment there.
That's bloody brilliant
across three generations.
Bloody brilliant. Do you retire as soon as that game finishes? Do you hang the boots up that day? You tell the boys that's it for me.
I didn't know. I sort of waited until after 3 or 4 days sort of thing. We had a bit of celebration to do.
It would have been a good area 4 days later.
Yeah, mind you, it didn't stop Nico asking for my jumper.
What, before you'd retired?
Before I retired, he goes, if you're thinking about it.
Bullshit. That's classic.
I said, mate, if it happens, I'll let you have it. Anyway.
Badger's just still got his footy kit on. Yeah. Just, just sitting down, getting his ice on Abby or something.
So anyway, I think at the F&B later that week, announced my retirement, and also announced that Mark was going to take my jumper.
Unreal.
So all good, worked out well.
They call you the Trojan, and for those listening along, at some stage during my career, we needed to name the Lions, so... Would have heard me speak about it a lot, Dan, the Bulls.
Yep.
We were. So that what we were given was sort of to give yourself a bit of a spirit animal or a spiritual kind of leader. We went the Bulls, right? Red rag to a bull, doesn't back down, doesn't care who's in their way, just smack him. Bulls.
Good animal.
Amazing. The forwards, just no idea with what they're doing in life, really. They went with the feared, like, they didn't pick a thing. They picked a word. Idiots. Anyways, then that's another story. But the midfield, they were the Trojans.
Right.
Off the back of Drew Banfield, nickname, the Trojan. I think that's – I'm pretty sure that's correct.
That's how I heard it too.
Yeah, correct.
That's so awesome.
Where's the nickname the Trojan come from?
So in the 90s, mid-90s, an article was written about me saying that I was the war horse of the West Coast Eagles midfield.
Is that a positive thing?
I'm not sure.
War horse dies in that movie.
Yeah, I know.
Sad.
Or maybe it was a workhorse. I can't remember. One of the it was workhorse.
And the Trojan war horse, they like sneak it in the gates and like leave it in there, and they all jump out of it, attack people.
It was obviously a big enough headline that a few of the boys in the club thought, the old Trojan war horse. And
It sounds like self-defense. It sounds like a piss take.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think Muddy Waterman might have been one of the first to really start going, Trojan, come on, let's get out of the track, Trojan. And it stuck. That's so, I think that's where I understand where it sort of came from. And
The feared so bad. Trojan's excellent.
Yeah, Trojan's excellent. Right. And they embodied that. And they used Drew Banfield as their kind of – they had like pictures of banners back in the 90s just –
they have big guns.
Shirtless.
Yeah.
Correct.
Oiled up.
Actually. mate, career done and dusted, all finished. Stepped into – I think I saw you on the boundary for Fox Footy. How'd that go?
Oh, jeez. You reflect on some decisions in life, and perhaps that wasn't a good one to get involved in that. It was interesting. I found it, we had about a week lead up when I got the call. Oh, do you want to commentate on the boundary for do the comments on the boundary this weekend. And I was like, what, this weekend? Yeah, all right, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Anyway, probably needed to put a bit more time and effort into it. So
you said before you didn't watch any footy that year, just rock up.
I was working full time, had a kid that was 1 year old and had another on the way, arrived about July that year. So, you know, under the pump
trenches.
A bit. Yeah, in the trenches on that regard. And was coaching the state 18s as well. So I had to go watch footy on the weekends to, you know, we're putting a, you know, side together for that carnival. That was a good carnival too. You want to hear the list of boys that came from that one? Nick Nat was our ruckman. Danny Rich was midfield. Yes. Chris Marston in the midfield. Reece Palmer, Alex Rance.
Wow.
Chris Yaron.
Stacked.
Who else?
So you were their junior coach.
Yeah, so
fair to say that
Jared McNeil was the senior coach and I was the midfield coach for that.
So you were the mid coach of Nick Nat, Masto, Palmer. Fair to say you taught them everything they...
Mate, we won the carnival basically.
Yeah, on the back of the midfield.
Yeah.
And you were the coach. Put it all together.
Join the dots, yeah.
been a great chat. You've heard enough from Dan and I though. We've just got a bit to finish off. This is called Scotial Media, not social, Scotial. With me? Yeah, I thought you might. Now, this is from the people for you. So they've put some questions together for you.
Okay.
We're going to ask them. Hayden Ratcliffe.
The best opponent you've played on and who had the best chat on field?
Best chat as in opposition team would be Tony Shaw. You are going back in the archives there, but yeah. He was early 90s Collingwood player and God, he could talk. He never shut up.
Really?
He was brilliant at the chat and I wouldn't say he was the toughest opponent. I reckon that was sort of someone like Paul Kelly from the Swans, Craig Bradley, that was early days. And then as I moved into the back line, you know, Nick Davis had some really good battles with him.
Great. Any of your teammates good on the lip?
Embers didn't mind a bit of a chat. Brawny was good. Brawny was brilliant, actually. He could run all day, Brawny. So I often got him to wrestle with my forward pocket and try and exhaust him out. And then Brawny would run back to the wing all happy and, you know, my forward sitting there going, and I'm going, yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah, you had your little things up your sleeve that you tried to work in your favour.
I mean, we just touched on this, but I think probably just worth another reverse over it. Benassi underscore say.
Yeah, do you still have nightmares over your very short-lived Boundary Rider appearance?
How many years did you do it for?
I think I got 11 games.
That's good effort.
I reckon the biggest nightmare I have is when we were playing Fremantle.
Yeah.
It was a derby, and a lot of the Freo boys still thought I was wearing the blue and gold jumper, even though I was sitting on the boundary line in a suit and tie. And Sellers and Desi Headland have had a massive Barney out in the field.
Yes.
And Desi's come off and absolutely torn into me and we're going at it.
No.
Because he's seeing me as blue and gold. And
bullshit.
Yeah. And then I've had to give a halftime speech or chat and I've got a Freo guy literally a meter off me from the boundary. We set up way too close to the boundary. He's given me what for about, you know, how bad West Coast are. And I'm honestly getting sprayed, spit all over me, and I'm sitting there trying to talk to the boys upstairs, telling them my take on the game.
Well, imagine the boundary rider going head to head with Des Headland. Yeah. What were you spraying? It's just so funny.
So anyway,
that's good. Yeah, that's great. Des has been on. Oh, he's been in and around the podcast.
Oh, but Des and I get along.
Right. He's a ripper. Yeah.
He's a ripper. But yeah, heat of the moment.
Emotions.
It was great. Yeah, I loved it. I thought, this is great.
Sounds like, give me some boots. I'll
get out there. Come on. so anyway, that was, I don't know whether a highlight, but it was a moment.
Now, this is an interesting one because I've experienced this firsthand. That underscore J underscore Jaden.
How often do people ask you about Bailey Banfield from the Dockers?
This is a twofold question. Right? Okay. So I don't think some people will know that.
Yeah, that I do have a son called Bailey Banfield. Mm. So I've got a son
who's also a footballer.
He's down at Claremont Footy Club at the moment. He's 18, so his name's Bailey. But Bailey Fremantle Bailey is from Broome. So all my career, early particularly, I got asked, "Oh, are you related to those Banfields in Broome?" And I went, "Nah, don't know any of those guys. I wonder what they're like." Anyway, so ended up in Broome on a off season. So I thought I'd wander in, and I did a bit of homework, found out where they were. So they're the boys that run Willy Creek Pearls, and Darren and Robert. And so I got to meet them sort of mid-90s, early 2000s, and we're still friends now. And I actually had Bailey's grandmother, Rob, and Bailey come over to my place with the best ever family tree I've ever seen of a family have. Like, oh, it went back generations. So we sat down and looked for a link. And I reckon we found one. We're not 100% sure. We've got to follow it up a bit. But
that's cool.
Yeah, we're seeing if there is a link. But, yeah, his grandmother was a wonderful lady.
We reunited at the grand final, Banners and I, Amber Banners' partner, and Alex, and Luke Shuey and Danny Shuey were there. Mm. Shout out Danny Shuey. She'll love this story. And Bailey Banfield, Drew's son, was there, Bailey.
Yep.
And I introduced Bailey Banfield, Drew's son, as Bailey Banfield, just because I wanted to make the assertion that Drew was Bailey's father.
Yes.
And Danny, to Bailey's face, go, you're not Bailey Banfield. Right? To his face. And I said, no, this is Bailey Banfield, Drew's son. And she said, no, Bailey Banfield plays for Fremantle. This is not Bailey Banfield. And we went on like that for an hour in front of Bailey Banfield, son of Drew.
There we go.
Good on you, Danny. You made an absolute dickhead of yourself. Now, Wardy, very good friends with Danny, by the way. Just anyway, Wardy underscore 85, a little bit down.
Craziest teammate off field.
Couple? You played across a couple of eras there.
Yeah, Banners. Played a couple of eras. I could break them down.
Can take crazy however you like as well. Could be.
I wouldn't say crazy. I reckon just his, ability to get a team up and about and just, go about things his own way was Chrissy Mainwaring in the 90s. I just loved him. Yeah. He was just he was unconventional, but he got away with things that you couldn't get away with. But he just was brilliant.
And blokes loved him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Loved him. And and he never let you down, no matter what he ended up doing. He was he was brilliant. So all those legends, as you do, had to retire, and a new crop came through, and probably the combination of Fletcher, Embley, they were pretty funny. I remember we were on an end of season footy trip, and these guys are pretty early in their careers, and they tried to get me in a headlock, so I've got both of them in a headlock like this. They say, I'm going to win a premiership with you, Trojan. And I'm like, oh, we've got no chance with these two peanuts. And anyway, it took us another 5 years and we got there.
All right, great.
I've got a great relationship with those two, and they were pretty crazy.
Kyle Sinclair underscore. Off the back of that story.
Best footy trip you've been on?
We, in the 90s, you'll be disappointed didn't continue, Scully, but we had some amazing footy trips. We, my first footy trip was unheard of. We actually went out of pre-season and went to the Gold Coast in the middle of pre-season. So wow. I did 4 weeks of training. Went to the Gold Coast for a week and then came back. That was in 93. That was, end of 92. Oh, 93, I don't know, one of the years. Anyway, unheard of, never done again.
Mm.
But we played an exhibition game in London.
Did you play in that one? That was the big demolition one where Ember's out in the field knocking people out.
We played Adelaide a couple of times and then that Frio one later on.
Yeah.
They're great trips. We managed to get across to South Africa. That was probably the best one. And the team did the Zambezi River whitewater rafting. A few of us jumped off the bridge, bungee jumping, and we went on safaris all together. So that was a huge lot of fun.
Did you like meet royalty while you were in London, one of those trips? Did you get introduced to the Queen or something? No, I can't remember.
Mate, probably Maney.
Where's the way up the top there?
Maney or Turles. They were the two. Yeah, they would have... probably ever achieve that.
Last question from the Eggman, as we always do.
How do you like your eggs?
I like them fried on toast with slightly cut up them with Worcestershire and a cracked pepper.
Wow. I like the detail.
Yeah.
Mate, that's us done and dusted.
Awesome. Good chat, boys.
Thank you. Really good.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure you're following us on social medias, backchat_ across Instagram and TikTok. If you want to send us an email, you know how to do that. hello@backchatpodcast.com.au. All of our stuff, all our merch, up the bloody coasters, you know what to do. backchatstudios.com.au. Hello to our patrons, our VIPs, and a big thank you to our sponsors, Paywise, Tab Touch, Shelter Brewing Co., Mumba Digital. Good damn, Jill. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, Dan. Thanks.